us and get away with it. But now the IRGC has proven that those days are over. I'm so proud of them.
We've been waiting for this moment for so long, ever since they assassinated Haj Qasim. I'm so grateful to our armed forces.
The IRGC really made all Iranians proud. We are so happy. That is why I'm here to thank them.
I was so happy on the night of the attack that I came out on the street to celebrate that the Israelis finally got what they have deserved after committing so many crimes.
The demonstrators also used the opportunity to denounce Israel's genocidal war in Gaza and its crimes against Palestinians.
We are here for the people of Gaza. I don't think any human being can watch what's happening and be indifferent.
Defending the oppressed is our duty. That is why I always take part in these demonstrations.
In cities all across Iran, people took part in mass demonstrations to show their support for the IRGC and Operation True Promise. Gisum Mishah Ahmadi, Tehran.
Instead of beating the drums of war, it is the delicate taps of instruments such as the dulcimer or the santur in Persian and the harmonious melodies of different tongues that should be wafting across borders. As Iran celebrates its National Culture Week in South Africa, officials and the public have visited exhibitions in the key cities of Johannesburg, Pretoria and Cape Town to learn more about the Persian heritage. The event was held at the Castle of Good Hope in Cape Town, which was a Dutch colonial fort and is now a museum.
Culture is a very powerful construct because it forces people to communicate, not only through language, because I can't speak the Iranian language, they can't speak Afrikaans, which is my mother tongue, but through our handiwork, through our art, through our crafts that we do, we can connect as human beings and exchange ideas, because culture is not devoid of power and of politics.
And this view is shared by South African officials and even within the Organization of Developing Economies, BRICS Plus, which Iran joined at the beginning of 2024.
But I'm looking forward to us coming out with a university of some sort. And that university is going to be a technology-driven university that has got culture imbued in it, because we cannot just be driven by, you know, gadgets and technologies. We have to put our humanity within this technology. If we can do that, I believe that we can go very far as a people.
South Africa and Iran have extensive relations, and so through expanding this exchange of unique arts and crafts, they can effectively use the skills of their respective peoples to develop economic ties and, within the framework of BRICS Plus, shape a new world which breaks away from the current system. Culture is important now more than ever, as it fosters understanding and can develop closer relationships between different peoples. In a world overwhelmed with conflict, exhibitions such as these are important for peace. Hassan Siria, Cape Town.
It took the Turkish president more than 3 days to come up with a statement on Iran's retaliatory attack on Israel. Erdogan blamed Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for trying to spread conflicts and create tensions in the region through provocations. He added that those who did not voice their rejection of Israel's aggression on Gaza for several months are today condemning Iran's response.
İsrail'in uluslararası hukuku.
The main one responsible for the tension that gripped our hearts on the evening of April 13 is Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his bloody administration. Israel is trying to provoke a regional conflict, and its attack on Iran's embassy in Damascus was the last drop.
Turkish government was criticized by the opposition for its silent position from regional tension. Deputy Chair of Republican People's Party Erhan Özgel said he was astonished not to see a single reaction or statement by Erdogan's cabinet or his ministers after the attack.
I mean, it's such an important development in our region, and a military assault launched directly by another state targeting Israel for the first time since the October War in 1973. I mean, it's such an escalation and such great tension in the region. We're astonished to observe that not a single official, especially the minister fighting first, has made any comment on this issue.
Meanwhile, an opposition parliament member slammed the AK ruling party's double standard, saying they pray for the children of Gaza on one hand, while selling the fuel that is used to bomb those children on the other.
Can you imagine this hypocrisy? On the one hand, they're praying for the children of Gaza, and on the other hand, selling fuel to Israeli jets. You say Al-Quds is your red line. You're sending terrorism to Quds. You have Gaza children in one hand and the green dollars on the other hand. Shame on you.
Turkey holds significant importance in the region, and every development has an impact on Turkey politically and economically. Therefore, as experts say, the only way Turkey's silence can be explained is by linking it to the economy. And it is also the reason why Ankara did not immediately cut trade ties with Israel, and it merely severed diplomatic relations. Many believe a country like Turkey and a leadership like the Justice and Development Party were expected to not only defend Iran, but also stand by its Muslim neighbor against Israel.
Turkey had been silent about this issue, but as of yesterday, support came from President Erdogan, blaming Israel and supporting Iran. This was very important and provided a clear and good response. True, Turkey has economic relations with Israel, but if Turkey wants to develop and enhance its relations with Eastern countries, such as Iran, Iraq, Azerbaijan, and even Syria, it can reach a good place regionally. While Turkey has economic relations with Israel, its relationship with Iran goes much further. Therefore, Turkey should definitely stand by Iran in this matter.
Many believe it is time for Turkey to choose where to stand. Rather than trying to verbally support the resistance and continue to press ahead with its Western and Israeli collaborations. Erdogan's comments on Iran's retaliatory attacks came late, just like the decision to cut a trade with Israel was late. It seems Ankara is walking a very thin line in its ties with Iran amid fears of harming economic relations with the Israeli regime. Rashan Saglam, Istanbul.
After days of anticipation, Iran unleashed a barrage of missiles and drones against Israeli targets in the occupied territories. The legitimate response came after Israel attacked Iran's consulate in Damascus on April 1st, violating all international laws and conventions.
Iran's response comes within the international laws, specifically Article 51 of the United Nations Charter, which gives Iran the legitimate right to defend its national security. The Iranian attack on Israel has changed the geopolitical map in the region, and it was a strong warning to the evil regime.
The Iraqi people, as well as resistance leaders, hailed the Islamic Republic for the unprecedented response, dubbed Operation True Promise, which was within the inherent right of self-defense that entitles any country to protect its diplomatic institutions. Iran's retaliation came after the UN Security Council failed to condemn Israel's attack, which killed 7 members of Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps.
The resistance and the people of Iraq surely stand by the Islamic Republic of Iran amid the failure of international community and the UN Security Council to condemn the Israeli attack on the Damascus consulate. Iran had all the rights to defend itself and respond with proper means and timing.
The significant operation clearly shows that Iran will not hesitate to take action against any threat to its citizens and institutions. Now, with its capabilities and military evolution, Iran has significantly changed the rules of battlefield in modern times.
Iran's retaliatory operation, which came after a long time of strategic patience in the face of Israel's brutalities, shows that the Tel Aviv regime's days of hit and run are over. And Iran does not hesitate to exact a devastating revenge on its enemy, despite its all-out Western support. Muslim Salem, Baghdad.
Iran's retaliatory strikes on Israeli-occupied territories have drawn admiration and praise in Afghanistan from both the country's ruler, the Taliban, and the Afghan people. They said the reprisal strikes were completely legitimate, justifiable, and have expressed their support for Iran in the face of hostilities.
Long live and fingers crossed to the leader of Iran and to the brave nation and IRGC of Iran for their bravery in hitting the occupying Israel. They did this while many Muslims, like Saudi rulers, are indifferent to the cause and values of Muslim world. Praise Ansarullah of Yemen and Hezbollah and any nation who stands for the Islamic and human rights of Muslim people.
We are happy that Iran carried out the retaliatory strikes on Israel. Every Muslim should feel proud because the bully occupying Zionist regime came under fire. Look, Israeli forces have been oppressing our brothers and sisters in Palestine for decades. It's the time for all Muslim countries to unite and show the aggressors that we can and we have such capabilities.
The Taliban-run foreign ministry issued a statement on Sunday declaring Iran's recent attack on Israel as a legitimate defensive action. It added that Israeli genocide must be stopped in Gaza. Experts say the Afghan ruling authorities' support for Iran's reprisal actions and the Palestinian cause shows Muslims are now united against Israel, and hatred towards the Tel Aviv regime is now everywhere across the Muslim world.
Decades of Israeli occupation in Palestine and its atrocities have made all Muslims hate this regime and call for the regime to be crushed. Over the past few years, the attacks carried out by Hamas and Hezbollah shattered the Israeli regime's grandeur. Iran's strikes against Israel came amid Israel's devastating and deadly bombing campaign against Gaza.
The Afghan people also showed their anger with Israel for its war crimes in Gaza. They call for an immediate ceasefire in war-torn Gaza and demand that the international community help end the war and support Palestine in the face of Israeli invasion. Afghanistan stands firm beside brotherly Iranian nation. Palestinian cause is bringing the two neighbors even closer. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
Described as an act of self-defense, the Yemenis regard the extensive missile and drone strikes carried out by Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps on the Israeli-occupied territories as a response to the Israeli regime's assault on Iran's consular building in the Syrian capital, Damascus.
We consider the Iranian strikes against the Israeli entity a legitimate attack and a response to the Israeli attacks that violated Iran's sovereignty by hitting its consulate in Syria. The Iranian attack is a legitimate move to punish Israel and is part of measures to stop the regime's ongoing crimes since October 7.
The public sentiment aligns with the official stance as locals overwhelmingly endorse the Iranian strikes, stating that the Israeli regime and its allies only understand the language of force.
The Iranian attack is supported not only by Yemenis but also by all free people in the world. The Iranian response sent the message that Iran's capability is real and that all it was seeking was to liberate Palestine and stop the crimes by the Zionist enemy. Today we are facing an exceptional operation because Iran had not carried out an operation of this scale since the end of the Iran-Iraq war. Iran has been characterized by patience and deliberation due to the way it deals with hostile states. This is the first time that Iran has carried out a military operation against its enemies from within Iranian territory. This attack was successful, came at the right time to put the Zionist enemy in its place, and proved that Iran is capable of blowing up Israel.
Over the past few years, Yemeni-Iranian relations have strengthened, especially during the U.S.-backed war on Yemen, initiated by the 2014 revolution. This military campaign aimed to restore a U.S.-aligned former government in Yemen.
People here believe that the recent Iranian attack against the occupied territories significantly impacts Western powers, demonstrating unity among the resistance forces in the region. They view the attack as the beginning of the end for the Israeli regime and its supporters. Abdul Latif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio, with you every single moment.
Of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrents fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willest, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Bring us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Welcome to Spotlight. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. The Zionist regime's genocide against Palestinians in Gaza is 6.5 months old. It has taken the lives of at least 34,000 people, although that number is more likely to be 40,000 because of those still under the rubble. And at the same time, the regime has caused such destruction of human lives and infrastructure in Gaza, the Zionist entity has continued to wreak havoc in the region, and of course, not just during the last 6 months, but for decades. We're going to take a look at all of this on the Spotlight. I'd like to welcome my guests to the program. Out of Dublin, Asad Abu Sharq, Palestinian academic and activist. And out of Manchester, Peter Ford, former British ambassador to Syria.
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
But thank you both for being with us. I'd like to start it off with Assad. Now, the Israeli regime is the root of most of the instability in the region. Your thoughts on this statement?
Yes, of course. Israel is the mother of all evils in that part of the world because it was created as an apartheid state, settler, colonial state, to serve the interests of the West at the expense of the Palestinian people, to ethnic cleanse the Palestinian people, to implant European Zionist Jews in order to serve the interests of the West and to keep that part of the world unstable, not settled, and to launch, so that Israel can launch series of wars. Israel, ever since 1948, launched wars after wars, aimed at ethnically cleansing the Palestinian people in order to bring and to pump in more Jews from Europe and to pump out more Palestinians from Palestine. Of course, Israel is being supported, as we said, and created and invented by the West, by the Americans, by the British, by the French, by all Europe, not ever since 1948 and before 1917, Balfour Declaration, and even before that, when they started to send Zionists to Palestine in order to take the place of the Palestinians. So now Israel is committing now, this time, a genocide with the support and psychological support, propaganda support, military support, economic support, political support, media support of the West. They wouldn't even accept to impose ceasefire, immediate ceasefire, lasting ceasefire, and they wouldn't ask Israel to withdraw. Although Israel, this time, this Nakba, I'm not talking about the first Nakba, this Nakba killed 1,000 and 1,000 of children, thousands and thousands of women and people, destroyed the infrastructure, destroyed mosques, destroyed schools, universities, churches, everything. They destroyed everything, and they declared that. They said, we are going to destroy, we are going to kill all the Palestinians, this is what they say. And then they said, we are going probably to drop an atomic bomb. There are no innocent people in Gaza.
Okay.
That all the Gazans should leave. And this is, they are being supported by the West.
Okay, stay with me. Stay with me as that. Let me get our other guests involved in this conversation. Well, Peter, even during this genocide, in the middle of this genocide, the regime has regularly bombed Syria, causing death and destruction. I mean, what is it after in Syria? Why does it continually attack Syria?
Israel attacks Syria partly because it's a relatively easy and cost-free thing to do. The government of Syria is in no position to retaliate against the very powerful Israeli state backed by America. Syria is a country with a quarter of its territory occupied effectively by the United States, which, working through some local mercenaries, controls Syria's oil. So Israel is able to get away with murder, literally with murder, in Syria. At least it was until very recently, when it murdered the Iranian generals in Damascus, a new page was opened and a red line was crossed. It's one thing to attack the poor Syrian army, which can hardly defend itself. It's another thing to attack the embassy, the consulate of an important country with an important military like Iran. And Israel is now beginning to learn the hard way that you don't cross red lines with Iran. You must think very, very carefully before you take a risk of confrontation with Iran. And what's happening now is that the Israelis have come off second in the struggle with Iran, in the exchange of attacks on each other's territory. And Israel is now licking its wounds. I suspect this is why it has now returned to its easy target of Gaza, where again the Gazans are, like the Syrians, are in no position to inflict a major military defeat on Israel. This is the easy way for the Israelis to try to restore the pride that was lost this week in their confrontation with Iran.
Hmm. Well, Assad, we've also seen time and again the regime attacking Iraq, and last night was no different, although the Israeli regime has not admitted to carrying out the attack against a popular mobilization forces. It is reported that fighter jets took off from the Israeli entity, flew over Jordan to Iraq. And by the way, the PMF was created as a counterterrorism force to stop Daesh in the beginning, in the first place, during its terror campaign in Iraq. Your thoughts about the regime's goal in attacking the PMF?
You see, Israel has always been attacking its neighbors and using different methods of attack, whether it is military or security or underground and whatever. But Israel now, this time when they attacked, of course, Syria, they attacked before Iraq, they attacked Egypt before, and they attacked Lebanon, blah, blah, blah. But now, this time, I think when they crossed the lines against Iran, of course, they received a response, very, very, very strong response, which was televised, and everybody saw it, and I think it was celebrated by the Palestinian people and by the Arab peoples in the area. And this is why Israel, of course, couldn't do anything, although it is being supported by Western countries, and especially by the Americans. but also the Americans and Western countries do not want an all-out war in that area. They encourage Israel to retaliate, to do some limited retaliation, but not to start an all-out war, because they know that if there is an all-out war, that Israel will be greatly affected. And not only Israel, their own interests. This is the most important thing for them, their own interests. But Israel remains an element of instability in that part of the world. And as long as, I'll tell you, as long as there is Israel in that part of the world and there is an occupation of Palestine, I think there can never ever, I repeat, never ever be peace or stability or security in that part of the, in that part of the world, unless all European Zionist Jews who were sent to occupy Palestine are taken back to their countries of origin in Europe.
Okay, well, Peter, I mean, the Zionist entity has also continuously now bombarding southern Lebanon, as the Lebanese resistance group Hezbollah has kept the pressure on the regime in order to occupy it on its northern front. Your thoughts about the continual tit-for-tat between the regime and Hezbollah, and how effective has Hezbollah's actions been?
Well, back in 2006, people will recall, there was a very serious war between Hezbollah and Israel, with exchanges of thousands, not hundreds, thousands of missiles and bombs on each side. And the result was a defeat for Israel. Israel was forced to withdraw its troops from southern Lebanon. It was forced to admit that it had been unable to defeat Hezbollah. And the result was 18 years of peace on that border. Israel had been deterred from attacking Lebanon by Hezbollah. That area, the border area, enjoyed 18 years of almost complete peace until the Israeli invasion of Gaza. This is what provoked the instability on that northern Israel border with Lebanon, because Hezbollah wanted to help the resistance forces in Gaza and therefore started to shell Israeli targets just across the border. And this led to exchanges of fire. In the end, about 100,000 Israelis living along that border have been forced to leave their homes entirely as a result of the Israeli attack on Gaza. Those Israelis are suffering a little bit, just a little bit, of what the people of Gaza are suffering.
Peter, let me just jump in here. So basically, what you're saying when you compare like 2006 and what happened and Hezbollah basically getting rid of the regime as far as attacking them, are you basically saying that you have to hit the regime with force to cause a deterrence? Otherwise, as we see in other places and especially what they're doing to the Palestinians in Gaza, they will do whatever they can to cause havoc and basically tyranny wherever they are.
Exactly. This is about deterrence. Hezbollah created deterrence for Lebanon against Israel. Iran, just in the past few days, has reinforced, I think, the power of Iranian deterrence against Israel, attacking Iranian assets wherever they are. A very important thing that happened in the last few days is that senior Iranian speakers made clear that Iran would no longer tolerate the series of, not just one or two, but there must have been a dozen attacks on Iranian targets, including scientists in Iran itself, Iranian personnel helping defeat ISIS in Syria, Iranian personnel in Iraq likewise helping to defeat ISIS, that it was made clear to the Israelis this week that these attacks would no longer be tolerated, and Iran was going to establish deterrence. Well, that is what has now happened. And with luck, this will actually make for more stability, at least on those fronts. But the weaker parties, the Palestinians of Gaza, the Palestinians of the West Bank, the Syrians, they do not have deterrence because they're not strong enough alone. And these areas will remain unstable.
Well, Assad, it is not just since the Holocaust in Gaza, but the Zionist regime has wreaked havoc in the region for decades, from terrorism, either directly or indirectly, to attempts at regime change. And they have done it all without any condemnation from their Western backers. How responsible are these Western regimes for Israeli crimes?
You see, human rights and democracy and, so-called values and the principles of justice, of humanity, of equality, are a farce. The West is not serious. This white supremacist mentality, this European, whether it's European or American, downgrades others and consider them lesser people, and they do not care for them. Because they created, as I said, Israel at the expense of the Palestinian people, and they are supporting and financing and funding and sending weapons. And all the world now knows, all the world, even European people, they say that how Israel is butchering Palestinian children, men, women, destroying everything. And the West wouldn't even ask for a ceasefire, and they keep sending weapons, and they were, and they keep visiting that apartheid Israel and providing it with all kind of help and support, moral and material and military, and they wouldn't. This shows how hypocritical the hypocrisy, the double standard policy of the West, and they are exposed after their own true colors. This is why there are huge demonstrations in the streets of most of Western Europeans, because even the European people are shocked of the brutal and savage and monstrous behavior of their own government and of how they treat other people. And I think democracy now proved to be false, human rights false. I think things are going to change in the whole world, and nobody is going to believe the West when they talk about justice, when they talk about human rights, when they talk about democracy, and things are changing. They know that it is the West who stole traitor regimes in the Arab world. In order to cooperate with the Zionist regime to kill and to conspire against the Palestinian people, not only against the Palestinian people, they conspired against Iran, against Syria, and against Iraq, against anybody, any country which resists Western hegemony and Western control of that part of the world. So I think the whole world is going to change from now on. But the resistance will continue, the Palestinian resistance will continue, and I think we will see change even in the Arab world, because the Arab peoples are disillusioned of the high treason of their regimes, saying that Gaza is being butchered in cold blood by the Zionists and by Europe and by Biden and by, you know, all these people, while the Arab regimes are doing nothing. They wouldn't even allow a portal of water from crossing point from Rafah. They are all just spectators on this genocide against the Palestinian people.
Okay. Well, Peter, when Netanyahu was asked in an interview who are Israel's enemies, he said he could name three: Iran. What does that mean about the role Iran is playing in countering Israeli terrorism?
Well, Netanyahu, for once, spoke the truth. You know, even a broken watch tells the truth twice a day. And it is correct that Iran is the only country in the region which has the ability to stand up against Iran. All the Arab countries are weak compared with Iran. They don't have either the military capability or the determination or even the desire to resist Israel. Nevertheless, some Arab countries have been more guilty than others, and the participation of Jordan in recent events is perhaps going to, in the end, Jordan may pay a heavy price, because Jordan is one of these other weaker countries in the vicinity of Israel, and weak countries should not take risks. Iran is the only country which is able to bring into play not just its own military, but important allies such as Hezbollah and the Hashd al-Shaabi, which has just been attacked in Iraq, and other armed groups also present in Syria and Iraq. Therefore, Iran is able to respond to aggression on not just one, but several fronts. And this is an important part of Iran's deterrence. Now, this situation is complicated by the fact that the Americans have bases in Syria and Iraq. But it turns out that these bases are, in fact, elements of strength for Iran, because if Iran, God forbid, was attacked by America, Iran would come knocking on the door of those bases, and they could be eliminated relatively easily in what would be a disaster for the United States. So, ironically, the fact that the Americans have these bases close to Iran is an asset for Iran. They are hostages to Iran. And this was very noticeable just in the last week in the American reactions. The Americans were afraid of how the Israelis were behaving and likely to behave. And they were afraid largely because of their own military presence in the area, which could have been severely embarrassed. So, conclusion is that Iran makes the weather in the region. Iran and the United States together make the weather. Israel has to listen to the United States. Iran doesn't have to listen to anybody. So Netanyahu, for once, was not lying.
And on that note, I have to thank both of you for being with me on this spotlight. Assad Abu Shagh, Palestinian academic and activist out of Dublin. Peter Ford, former British ambassador to Syria out of Manchester. And thank you for being with us here on the spotlight once again. I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing off for the crew right here in Tehran and all the rest. Goodbye.
When the whole world is silent towards oppression, even one voice becomes powerful. IRIB English Radio, the voice of the voiceless. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en.
in the limelight.
Recently, in an interview with Sky News, Britain's Foreign Secretary David Cameron criticised Iran for its military strikes against the Israeli regime, but hastened to add that the United Kingdom would have reacted similarly if one of its embassies had came under attack. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. The criticism against Britain's stance on Iran's retaliatory military operation against Israel gained momentum after British Foreign Secretary David Cameron's startling remarks. Recently, in an interview with Sky News, David Cameron harshly criticised Iran for its military strikes against the Israeli regime, but hastened to add that the United Kingdom would have reacted similarly if one of Britain's embassies had come under attack. Late on Saturday, 13th of April, Iran launched a barrage of drones and missiles directly against the occupied Palestinian territories in response to an earlier attack on the Iranian consulate building in Damascus, Syria, that led to the assassination of 7 individuals, including 3 senior Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps commanders, RGC commanders. According to legal luminaries, the Israeli attack was in violation of international laws and the Vienna Convention of 1961, as embassies are considered the soil of that particular country. During the interview, when asked by Sky News journalists about how Britain would have reacted if one of its embassies was flattened, British Foreign Secretary David Cameron said, "We would take very strong action," drawing criticism from all across the world for UK's double standards on this matter. The 57-year-old former British Prime Minister David Cameron attempted to justify his remarks by differentiating between Israel's actions in Damascus and Iran's attack on the occupied Palestinian territories in response, highlighting the magnitude and scale of Iran's retaliation. David Cameron stressed there was a massive degree of difference between what Israel did in Damascus and Iran's unprecedented attack. I would argue there is a massive degree of difference between what Israel did in Damascus and, as I said, referring to 301 weapons, 36 cruise missiles and 185 drones launched by Iran against military targets in the occupied Palestinian territories. While making the comparison, David Cameron struggled to differentiate between the Iranian and Israeli casualties in the attacks. The Israeli regime's attack against the Iranian embassy in Syria assassinated 7 people, while there have been no formal reports of any casualties in the Iranian attack on Israel. He also couldn't differentiate between the pre-attack warnings from both sides. Israel targeted the Iranian consulate building in Damascus without any prior warning, as the intention was to assassinate Iranian diplomats in breach of international laws, while the Iranian military intended to target the Israeli regime's military facilities. The British Foreign Secretary's remarks were widely criticised across social media platforms, with thousands of people condemning the British government for its blatant hypocrisy. Following the British Foreign Secretary's controversial comments on Sky News and his government's backing of the Israeli regime, the Iranian Foreign Ministry condemned the move, expressing astonishment at the British criticism of Iran's legitimate response to Israel's earlier attack on its embassy building in Damascus. In a telephone conversation on Monday, 15th of April, the Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian condemned David Cameron's stance and questioned Britain's unwavering support for Israel despite its illegal actions, including the daily massacring of Palestinian civilians in Gaza. The Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian asked David Cameron What does the British government gain from this amount of irresponsible support for Israel? The top Iranian diplomat stressed that Iran's retaliatory measures align with the principle of legitimate defense outlined in Article 51 of the United Nations Charter. The foreign minister's exchange of remarks came after Iran's foreign ministry summoned the ambassadors of Britain, France, and Germany to question their irresponsible stance regarding Tehran's retaliatory strikes on the Israeli regime. The director for Western Europe at Iran's foreign ministry warned against the three countries' double standards and questioned their bias in opposing a UN Security Council statement condemning Israel's attack on Iran's embassy in Syria earlier in the month. The official added, Iran's military action against the Zionist regime's bases is well within the framework of the right to legitimate defense stipulated in Article 51 of the United Nations Charter, and it is in response to a series of crimes, including the recent attack on Iran's embassy compound in Syria. Middle East Eye has also covered the same story and tells us more. The British Foreign Secretary's controversial comments about Iran were also met with criticism from George Galloway, a member of the British Parliament, who warned against the West's double standards on Israel and Iran. Exposing the inconsistency in Western attitudes, George Galloway said if international standards were applied uniformly, then Western governments would have condemned Israel's blatant bombing of the Iranian embassy building in Damascus, Syria, and not just Iran's response to the Israeli regime's actions. The British MP George Galloway said, "The mantra that Israel has a right to defend itself clearly does not apply to Iran. The mantra that there is a rules-based order and there is Vienna Convention protecting the inviolability of diplomatic premises of every country in every other country is clearly bunkum." George Galloway added, "It doesn't apply to those that the Western Empire disapproves of. Otherwise, every Western government would have condemned Israel's blatant and brazen destruction of Iran's embassy in Damascus. They would have done it if it was anyone else, wouldn't they?" Meanwhile, continuing its pivotal military support for the Israeli regime, British authorities claimed that the Royal Air Force, the RAF, came to the defense of the Israeli regime during last Saturday night's attacks. According to the British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, as part of Operation Shader, the code name for British military intervention in West Asia since 2014, several British jets and air refueling tankers were dispatched to the region. Rishi Sunak claimed the RAF jets intercepted and brought down a number of Iranian drones. Speaking in the House of Commons on Monday, 15th of April, Prime Minister Sunak said, "Our pilots put themselves in harm's way to protect the Israeli regime and acknowledge the UK's contribution of important intelligence, surveillance and reconnaissance support for our partners." Britain's Defence Secretary Grant Shapps also confirmed the deployment of further military assets in the occupied Palestinian territories as a demonstration of solidarity with the Israeli regime. Grant Shapps was quoted as saying, "In response to escalation in the region and in partnership with our allies, the Prime Minister and I have authorised the deployment of additional Royal Air Force assets." Britain is a staunch ally of Israel, supporting the Israeli regime with a raft of lethal arms. According to the figures by Campaign Against Arms Trade, the United Kingdom has authorised approximately £472 million worth of standard arms exports to Israel since 2015, alongside 58 open licences of unlimited value, raising transparency issues and allowing unrestricted quantities of exports.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Yvonne.